Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Harini Nagendra, author of the new novel, The Bangalore Detectives Club. Mystery writer Connie Berry wrote about the novel. The richness of the setting, the finely woven plot, fascinating characters, and lots of period details add up to a series opener that will keep readers wanting more. This one is a winner. Harini, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your debut novel, The Bangalore Detectives Club, how would you describe the novel?
It's a historical crime novel set in 1920s Bangalore with a lot of a period feel, but it's definitely, it's not a grim novel, however. It's closer to a cozy in feel. But it's very much set in the past and set in a time that was a colonial time where India was getting ready for independence, but didn't really know it. The British were on their way out, but they didn't really know it. So it's a time of great change.
Well, I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write The Bangalore Detectives Club?
Yes. So in my day job as an ecologist, I do a lot of research on the history of the city, the ecological history of the city. And that's something I started in 2006. And I was looking at maps and old archives. So maybe I had my head full of that. But the main character, who's this 19-year-old young woman, Kaveri, who's the amateur detective, one of the main protagonists, she sort of popped into my head in sometime early 2007 and said, write about me. And so I don't know if it was the fact that I was already thinking of the past and there was all these fascinating asides that had nothing to do with the ecology of the city, but were really bringing the past alive to me. So perhaps it was that. Perhaps it was that I listened to so many stories of strong women in my family, like my mother's grandmother, my husband's aunt, who's now 96, who went swimming in a sari. You know, I opened with the scene of Kaveri, my protagonist, swimming in a sari, and that's inspired by my husband's aunt, who used to do this. And so all of these things coming together in my mind, maybe it was that, but somewhere I was definitely very much in the setting. But Kaveri actually popped into my head one day and said, write about me.
Well, I know, as you said, that you're an ecologist and I know you're a professor of sustainability in Bangalore. Had you written fiction before this, or had you read crime novels or detective novels? What kind of prompted you to make the leap from your day job as an ecologist to writing this novel set in the 1920s?
So I always used to write in fiction, a lot of it when I was young, entered the little children's writing competitions. During my PhD, I used to write occasionally short stories for kids in local newspapers. When I was in Indiana University, I took some writing classes and I wrote a couple of short stories which got published in online magazines. But it's been a long time since I haven't written fiction. I write a lot of nonfiction, not just academic, but popular for books and newspaper columns. And so I've really stepped away from fiction writing, but it is my first love. It's something that I did so much of as a child. It was something I wanted to go back to one day. And I've always read mysteries. I love the Golden Age. I've read all the famous women Golden Age novelists, Agatha Christie, obviously, but also Dorothy Sayers, Neil Marsh, the whole gamut of people. I love the Miss Silvers, Patricia Wentworth novels. So I think it was natural for me to want to do something of that kind. But it was a learning journey. It took me 14 years to get the first book done. The second book I've got done, the draft is in now, and it took me just a year. But the first book took me 14 years because writing a mystery is obviously not easy. It's not like writing a short story, right? You have to have the whole plot figured out and the beginning has to match the end and, it has to be coherent. So that was something I rewrote the plot about three or four times.
Well, can you tell me about that? 14 years, that's a long time to keep working on a novel. Did you, you said you rewrote it three times. Were you working on the plot and the mystery?
Yes. So I wanted to write a mystery novel and I wanted it to be a crime novel, but I wasn't comfortable with having a murder in there. And so that was the first sort of mental block I think I had to get to make sure that there was a murder embedded in there. But it went through a number of different iterations. Some of this is the fascination of the history, because I originally set this in 1890s India. The reason I did that, not 1920s, was because Ronald Ross was here, and he was, of course, later the Nobel laureate for finding out malaria was caused by mosquitoes. And he was in Bangalore when the plague struck. So he played a major role in redesigning lots of Bangalore. So there's a lot about the health and the ecology of the city. And I wanted Ronald Ross in a mystery very badly. So I tried writing that. But it was such a grim time. You know, there was plague and cholera and people were dying, and it didn't seem like the right place to create a setting with a murder. Who would care about one person's death when you had plague, you had cholera, you also had famines. And lots of people died during that time. So it didn't seem like the right setting. So I moved it to the 1920s. And then I had a different plot because I was also very inspired. Another part of my work with ecology is on maps and old maps with Survey of India. These mappers who went and did these very, very interesting things. So one plot was all about, you know, what happened to somebody who was doing Survey of India mapping and got pulled into intrigue. But again, the murder and the mystery element wasn't that strong. So I rewrote it multiple times, and then I ended up with this plot. And then when the version that went into my editors, the version that they actually took for the book, had the same characters, but the plot was somewhat different. The murderer was different. The person who got murdered was different. And then they worked with me. They were very kind enough they really liked the characters in the setting. But I think it was great for me to have a strong editor working with me, plus my agent working with me. And then we went through a few revisions. So to get a sense of how to write this plot.
That's great. So what kind of research did you do about 1920s Bangalore as you were working on the novel?
The big advantage for me, Jeff, is that I had so much research. I mean, I'm literally flooded with research because we have gazetteers, we have annual administrative documents. I have photographs, I have oral histories, I have biographies and autobiographies. I have newspaper accounts. I have so much research. It's almost like trying to figure out what to put in and what to leave out and where to take the historical transgressions. You know, sometimes, let's say I'm in 1921 and something really interesting happens in November, but I want to write it in August. So I take the authorial liberty of moving it from November to August. Or something happens, let's say 3 years later, and I can move it ahead or back. You know, so those are the things I'm doing. But I know the city and I know the structure of the city because I have everything. I have the maps, I have the data, and I'm looking at it all the time in my day job anyway. So,
well, you said that you talked about this process of writing your first novel, The Bangalore Detectives Club. How was it after that process? And then you said you wrote the second novel in the series in just a year. What was it like writing that second manuscript?
So I realized that the editing process was so critical for me in the first book because they not just, I mean, I did the rewrites, but they always gave me the logic of, look, this part is really good, but this part is not working. And so it wasn't fix it this way. It was, here's what's not working for us. And so that helped tremendously. And when I sat down, so the second book, I actually started in January. And in all of January, I wrote down the outline for the plot. And we went back and forth on that. And then I wrote the first draft of book two in actually 5 weeks. And then I went through two iterations, but not major, just, you know, fixing logical inconsistencies. And that's worked out well. So hopefully it doesn't seem like I'll have to do major changes with this one. I think it's really that learning curve. I did so much with my first book and I got such good editorial inputs that I really think I understood, you know, how to craft this. Because it's a learning process. And I think once you understand why you do it, then you wrap your head around the how to do it. The second thing I did, which was enormously useful for me, was to join the Sisters in Crime and Mystery Writers of America, which are these, you know, the two big mystery writers organizations in the US. And they have all of these webinars with authors. And I found those much more useful, frankly, than I also did some writing courses online. Not too many, but a little bit of something and a little bit of something else. And I found it was far more useful, you know, these webinars, the Sisters in Crime, Mystery Writers of America, because they're experienced authors who, when people ask them questions, they're telling you exactly what went wrong with their own books and how they managed to fix this. You know, so one of the inputs, this is because I write so much nonfiction and my nonfiction is always to a tight word count. You know, here's a newspaper editorial and you have 600 words. And if you do 620 words, someone's going to cut out the 20 words and they're probably going to cut out the 20 that for you are the most important. So I edit myself when I'm in my nonfiction writing mode to write crisp. And that was part of my brain. I had to learn to turn that part of my brain off when I wrote fiction. Because, you obviously are writing fiction for the love of the literature and the language and the correct placing of the word. And you don't mind, actually, if you take three sentences to explain something. And all the books I read on writing said, you know, kill your darlings. Make, if you have like 120,000 words for a manuscript, you should be able to chop one third of it and get down to 80,000. And there I was with my first round of manuscript was 45,000 words. I'm just thinking, if I chop off a third, I'm going to have a novella. So the second book I figured out how to turn off that part of my brain and say, you know, that here's my fiction writing board and I'm not going to keep that switch on.
That's great. Well, as we've said, your debut novel, The Bangalore Detectives Club, is out. And as you just described, you've written the second novel in the series. Are you hoping to write more about your detective?
I am, indeed, because she's fascinating. So I could go on for a long time. I'm fortunate that they've taken a three-book deal from me, so I have at least a third book left to write. But I think that's such a fascinating time, the golden age. Between World War I and World War II, you know, women are discovering their freedom. The world is changing. Like I said, it's really the times are of that of change. And so many of the issues they're exploring are issues that resonate even today. So there's women suffragettes. You know, the whole suffragette movement is not just picking up in the UK and the US, but it's picking up in India and Sri Lanka. And so these fascinating stories I'm seeing in the archives of people having these conversations back and forth via letters from the UK and US with the what they call sisters, the sisters in Sri Lanka and India. You know, so there's so much in here that I feel like I could just go on and on looking at this in the archives.
That's great. Well, given your process, as you said, it was 14 years of working on your first novel and getting it to publication. What writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories and novels?
I think very much to get it done first. And where I was, I think, struggling was I would get it half done. And then I would say, no, I'm not quite sure this plot is going anywhere. Then I'd start from the beginning again. And I think it seems like every writer has to know what works for them. So I realized I am it's always a standard discussion. Are you a plotter or answer? That is, do you have your plot worked out fast or you first and then start writing? Or do your characters are in your head and you see where that plot goes? And I'm a very much a character-driven plot person because I had the characters very clear. I had the setting very clear and I didn't quite know what they would do, right? And they had to show me what they would do. That said, I also needed a structure is something I realized because the first couple of times that I, you know, when I wrote and rewrote the plot, my problem was I would go halfway and I didn't have the second half figured out. And so I'd start again. And what I think was really valuable was for me when my agent came into the picture. So Priya Duraswamy, who is my agent, is also a very good friend, actually a school friend. And she looked at the half-driven plot and said, give me the full book and I'll look at it. And I said, that's just the problem, you know, Priya. I've been writing it for 11 years and I don't have it. Give me a deadline. I work to deadlines. So she gave me a deadline. And so I had to give her the first plot, however rough it was. And so what I did with my second one is I sat and fanced it up through. You know, I had my characters and I knew them pretty well by now because it's the second book in the series. But I wrote a long outline. So instead of writing the book, I wrote like a 10-page outline saying, okay, here's my first scene. Here's what happens. And then from the first scene, I went to the second scene and the third scene. I think that was very helpful. So to me, I guess what helped with getting the book done to the end is I understood what process works for me. I think that's the hardest. What process is it that works for every author? They have to discover that. And once you have that comfort level, it's really, I mean, I could say that the second book was just so much easier.
That's great. Well, what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
A whole bunch, I'd have to say. But for sure, Sujata Massey's entire Perveen Mystery series, which is this Bombay lawyer around the same time period my book is set. And she's the first, one of the first women lawyers in Bombay. So that's her series for sure. Then I love Abhin Mukherjee's series set in Calcutta with a British detective and an Indian sergeant who assists him. But also a very different kind of writing. So Katrina McPherson writes this lovely series called The Last Ditch Motel. Which is set in California, which has a whole bunch of immigrants and misfits, societal misfits. And in that sense, it sort of reminds me of my book, because there's a whole bunch of people who don't otherwise belong in society, because they're people that society doesn't think treat them well, because they don't understand where they're coming from. But what she has is this bunch of societal misfits who together work brilliantly, and they get together to solve mysteries. So I just love that. And I love her sense of humor, because I was in California myself as a short-term immigrant. So my husband was doing his postdoctoral research then. And in 97 and 98, we were in San Diego. And some of the things she describes just are so funny for me, because I remember the first time I came to the US and I went to Subway to order a sandwich, and all the choices they gave you, or, you know, you went to a Starbucks and it's like, you want half and half, or do you want this, or do you want full fat, you want, you know, et cetera. Do you want decaf, do you want caffeine, do you want it mixed, in what proportion, what cup size? And in India, you just go and you're like, give me coffee, and they give you coffee.
That's great.
It's funny.
It is funny. Where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novel?
My website, which is very simple, www.harininagendra.com. So that's just my name, harininagendra.com.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Harini Nagendra, author of the new novel, The Bangalore Detectives Club. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Harini, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much, Jeff. This was great fun.
Absolutely. This was great.
Mrs. Kaveri Murthy pulled out her oldest sari, 9 yards of checked cotton in dark brown. She felt so excited that she wanted to scream, but that would not do. So she resorted to her usual method for calming herself down, which was to make a mental list of all the objective facts at hand, which were, at this very moment, she was about to go swimming. She had not gone swimming in 3 years. Back at the Maharani Girls' School, she used to swim all the time, doing laps of the shaded marble pool in the courtyard. That had all stopped once she was married. Her mother had refused to let her entertain the notion, saying it would not do for the wife of a respected doctor to be seen in a wet, clinging sari. Kaveri began to realise there were a lot of things that a good married woman did not do. But she was in a new city now, her mother miles away in Mysore. She remembered herself 3 months back, an anxiety-ridden bride, travelling north to Bangalore to begin a life with her new husband. She had bitten her nails in the carriage and worried that he would find her too tall. Their formal marriage ceremony had taken place 3 years earlier, a loud explosion of a ceremony with drums and gongs which had left her with tinnitus. But this would be the first time she could call him husband in the true sense of the word. To be able to pad barefoot into the kitchen, still wearing her housecoat, and say, "Good morning, husband." Her husband, Dr. Rama Murthy, Ramu to his friends and family. Her first day in Bangalore, she had been unable to rest and did not fancy sitting in silence with her new mother-in-law. Nervously drinking cardamom tea and praying she wouldn't accidentally let out a burp or say the wrong thing. Leaving her unpacked bags at the house, she had visited the hospital where Ramu worked and encountered kind, ample-bosomed Mrs. Reddy, the wife of another doctor, who had taken her under her wing and told her about the swimming pool at the Century Club. They had been standing in the shaded veranda of the hospital, fanning themselves. "What I would give for a dip in a pool," Kaveri had sighed. "Do you swim?" Mrs. Reddy had turned towards Kaveri, her penciled eyebrows raised. "Oh, I used to. My home..." She paused. "My parents' home in Mysore used to have a large open well. My father gave us swimming lessons in it. He used to say that I must have been a water sprite in an earlier life. I used to float in the well for hours when I was a little girl." "My dear, I also swam when I was young. Our male servants kept guard around the pond when we went for a swim, keeping their backs to us. Brandishing large bamboo lathis, they would swat away anyone who came too close." At the Maharani Girls' School, the Maharani, the Queen, gave us access to the palace swimming pool. She strongly believed in the importance of exercise for young women. Kaveri's face lit up as she remembered those days when she swam and studied and did whatever she pleased, unhindered by rules about married women knowing their proper place. That seemed to give Mrs. Reddy an idea. "My daughter goes for a swim each Sunday at the Century Club with the Iyengar girls. she said. The Iyengar girls were the daughters of another well-respected doctor in town. In the morning, from 7 to 8, the pool is reserved exclusively for the use of women. Really? This all sounded very modern and avant-garde to Kaveri, who was only 19, and the daughter of a conservative family. Of course, Mrs. Reddy said. You're in cosmopolitan Bangalore now, and we're in the 1920s, not some provincial backwater of centuries past. You must ask your husband to bring you next Sunday and join us. Next Sunday was here, and Kaveri was humming, albeit under her breath, as she removed her bangles, earrings, and chain and carefully deposited them in a golden silk pouch. She took hold of her long, black braided hair and fastened it in a knot on her head. Then, grabbing the delicate pleats of fabric in each hand, she hiked her sari up past her ankles, tucking the ends between her legs and tying them into a knot under her petticoat. Catching sight of herself in the long mirror, she giggled. This style reminded her of the advertisement for Oriental harem pants she had seen in a glossy English magazine called Vogue, one of the souvenirs Ramu had brought home from London after his medical studies. She normally wore an 8-yard sari in the modern fashion, wound around her lower body, pleats fanning out from her waist, but that would never do for swimming. She gave herself one last look in the mirror and left the room. Outside the house, Ramu, waiting for his wife, was also humming to himself.